He looked up to heaven, blessed and broke. These are familiar sounding words, reminiscent of the Last Supper, a foreshadowing of what we're going to be celebrating in just a few minutes, not only here, but all around the world. It's a wonderful tradition, a visible reminder that all of our disparate Christian congregations, all in our neighborhood, in our town, in our state, all of them around the world, and yet we're all one. Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic, Presbyterian, really one church, the Church of Jesus Christ. And our lesson is a well-known one, the feeding of the 5,000. Of all of Jesus' miracles, this is the only one repeated in all four of the Gospels. 5 loaves, 2 small fish, and by the time it's all over, 5,000 men. Now, that's interesting because 5,000 men meant there were others there. The women and children would have been there too. They just counted the men because they were taller. And being fed, no, I don't know why they did that. And being fed and satisfied, and with 12 baskets of leftovers collected, how did Jesus do that? Well, we don't know. It's a tremendous miracle. There are ideas, though. There's a lot of nuance to this story. For instance, was it just a simple miracle where more was produced? Why not? It's a wonderful idea. But another one is thinking that the people, when they sat down in the groups and they started to realize what Jesus had been doing in their midst, healing and teaching and all these wonderful things, when they started passing the plates around, they said, you know, I got a little bit I brought in. Let me put it in there, too. And the generosity of all the people brought it all together. Generosity of God's people is a miracle also. There's miracles upon miracles in this story. But what I want to call your attention to today is one little detail in the story that most people just sort of gloss right over. It's in verse 14. It said, when Jesus said these words, make them sit down in groups of about 50 each. I love that. You know why? Nobody ate alone. Now, I find this a great comfort. Now, many of you don't know this about me, but there's very few things that I really just don't like. I don't like Velveeta cheese. It's not food. I don't know what that is. But do I like to eat by myself? No. I will skip a meal if I have to eat by myself sometimes. That's how much I dislike it. And I will tell you right now that if you see me up in Jason's Corner or at Thai Mango and I'm by myself, you have my permission to come over and sit down and just keep me company because I hate to eat by myself. It is just no fun. When Deborah and Wilson go off to do something, visit the grandbabies, I just sit in front of the TV and I'm like, oh, I hate this. I hate this. So anyway, but I love this. I'm sure that there were some on that shore, the shore in Palestine who would have preferred to eat alone. They were part of a culture where eating alone was not a bad thing. Some had come for healing who had heard about this miracle worker, and they're not really interested in any chit-chat. Just heal us, Jesus. Let us get on with our business. There were some who were feeling guilty who'd come to hear this teacher in a search for solace and forgiveness who would have appreciated not having to explain why they were there. I mean, when you're just sitting, how many of you don't like, don't raise your hand, how many of you don't like small talk? Yeah, I can't believe that. That's all I do. It drives Wilson crazy. He's like, you know, you talk to everybody. And yeah, I do. Actually, I do talk to just about everybody. But there were some who were grieving, might have been content just to be left alone. Some were just shy, not all that comfortable with being forced to open up to new people. In other words, they were normal people. Those there on that day are also here on this day. Make them sit down in groups. No one eats alone. And that was by design. There's something about the gospel that is utterly and completely communal. As the time came for him to end his earthly ministry, his instructions were to get out there and make more disciples, more friends. We call it the Great Commission. The result of that instruction was the formation of the church. More friends gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ. And even now in our Presbyterian tradition, the two sacraments that we regularly celebrate, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Next week we will have a baptism, another infant baptism in our church to celebrate. Woo! But we have this wonderful tradition of these two together. It's the official introduction into the community. The Lord's Supper is the way the community is nourished and sustained. No one is baptized alone. No one has the Lord's Supper alone. The church forces us out of our isolation. There is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christianity. And for that matter, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, Kimosabi. Jesus said, make them sit down in groups. Deborah and I love to travel, and we've been in a lot of... How many places have we been since we got married? 16 different countries. Yeah, they start kicking us out of them, you know, but we have a great time. But Germany is my favorite, and one of the reasons I love Germany is when you go into an area, like the center of town, they're having a big festival, and they have the tables set up, and the beer, and the brats, and all this sort of stuff is out there. You know what happens? Nobody sits alone. In their tradition, you know, in ours, you'd have to put a gun to somebody's head to get a seat next to them at the Red Lobster. It could be one person sitting at the whole table, but you can't sit down with them. In Germany, you do. You sit down, it's Es frei? Yeah. And they sit down. And you can talk to them if you want to, you don't have to, but nobody is forced to eat alone. There's that opportunity all the time. I remember I used to attend a lot of summer conferences up in Montreat. Montreat is where our Presbyterian center is for the whole country. People come there from all around the United States. But I could go there pretty regularly because I was a minister in South Carolina. And the South Carolina home, a special place up there that's open year-round, ministers from South Carolina could stay for free. It was great. You know, go up there and study or not. To go up there and enjoy chasing the bears or not. And there's a lot to do up in Montreat, North Carolina. But the best thing to do at the South Carolina home was breakfast. You see, because no one ate alone. Oh, you could have your table and you could sit down and you could be there, but it wouldn't take very long before somebody would come in and they want to sit with you too. It was 7:30 to 9 o'clock every day, family style. You have your food seated at a table for 6 or 8 or 10. No way you'll eat alone. The size of the room is very small. Its furnishings demand you have to eat with somebody else. And even though I no longer qualify for their free accommodation, I still look back to going back to that place with great fondness. Made some really good friends there, sitting, eating breakfast. One of the images of the Bible offers of heaven is a banquet. And I can guarantee you that someone coming into that heavenly feast, approaching the head waiter with a request for, excuse me, but just a table for one, please, will be told, sorry, there are none available. That's not the way communion is supposed to be. Or ever has been, or ever will be. There has never been room in the Protestant or the Catholic or Orthodox theology in the history of our understanding of communion that allows for it to be private. Just you and me. Well, there is a company that came out, though. It's been about 10 years. Yeah, they had a great idea. It was a new way of doing communion. Basically had a basket, and you took a little thing. You know what those, what are they, the creamers, right? Those little creamer things, right? And you would tear the top off, and there was a little piece of bread, and you would eat it and tear the next one off, and you would drink. And the church, I don't know how they distribute them. I mean, you could just throw them there to everyone to pick one up. But you have the opportunity to take it with you, and you could have it later if you wanted just you and Jesus as an individual. That is a complete perversion of everything that communion means. Communion is never an individual event. It is always done in the company of others. And one of my very favorite stories that Fred Craddock shares, Fred Craddock is a preacher who taught preaching to the Methodists at Emory Seminary for many years. He's a delightful man, wrote books about it. He's only about this tall, and he wrote all of his sermons, even to the end of his career, with a pencil on a legal pad. And I knew Fred. He came to our church and helped to do some things there for us. And I said, Fred, you know, I have this thing called a computer. You know, he's like, no, I'm perfectly fine, George. And he's world famous, so I guess he's doing okay. But he tells this wonderful story about breakfast, about a meal that he had. He had, this is what he said. He said, I was stuck in Winnipeg, Canada, just about the time of the year in early October. There was a snowstorm. And it paralyzed the city. Everything was shut down. And my host could not make it to the hotel to pick me up for breakfast. So I pick it up from there. And so for breakfast, Fred found himself at a crowded bus depot two blocks from his hotel. And as he came in, everybody scooted over to let him get in a booth, which sounds like the South Carolina home, doesn't it? And a big man with a greasy apron came over to the table and asked him what he wanted. Not knowing what the cafe served, he asked to see a menu. What do you want to see a menu? We have soup. Well, then I'll have soup, he said. And he waited for soup for breakfast. And the man brought the soup, and Craddock said it was an unusual looking soup because it was gray, the color of a mouse. He didn't know what was in it, but he took his spoon and tasted it. Awful, he thought. I can't eat this. And so he sat in that crowded cafe, warming his hands around the bowl, railing against the world, stuck in Winnipeg in a snowstorm. And then the door opened and somebody yelled, "Close the door!" And she did. A woman came in. And she was middle-aged. She had on a coat, but no covering for her head. Someone scooted over and let her into the booth. The big man with the greasy apron came over, and the whole cafe heard this conversation. "What do you want?" "Bring me a glass of water," she said. The man brought the water and took his tablet and repeated the question. "What do you want?" "Well, just the water." "Lady, you got to order something." Just the water." The man's voice started rising. "Lady, I've got paying customers here waiting for a place. Now order." "Just the water." "You order something or you get out." "Can I stay and just get warm?" "Order or get out." So she got up. And the people in the table where she was seated got up, and the people around got up, and the folks that let Fred sit at the table, and Fred got up, and they all started moving towards the door. "Okay, okay," the big man with the greasy apron said. "She can stay." And then everybody sat back down, and he even brought her a free bowl of soup. Fred asked the man sitting next to him, "Who is she?" He said, "I never saw her before. But if she ain't welcome here, ain't nobody welcome here." And then Craddock said, all you could hear was the sound of people eating that soup. "Well, if they can eat it, I can eat it too." And he picked up a spoon and he started eating the soup. And he said, "You know, it was good soup. I ate all of that soup. It was strange soup. I don't remember ever having it." And his words rang in my ear, "I never saw her before." He said, "If she ain't welcome, ain't nobody welcome." And as I left, he wrote, "I remember eating something that tasted like that before. That soup that day tasted like bread and wine. And I wished that that had happened in a church." From my heart, I want to tell you today that that is my prayer for you and for me, and for everyone who gathers around a table like this. Because sometimes it does happen. It happens here. It happens in this church, maybe. Jesus said, "Make them sit down in groups. No tables for one. The Lord's table is for a great gathering of friends. Old friends we have known for years. New friends we may have just come in to check us out, whom we barely know at all. But friends we can get to know better. And our meal is hosted by one whom the scripture described as a friend who sticks closer than a brother. When we eat together, something special, something wonderful can happen. Maybe here. Maybe this church. Maybe now." Let us pray. God, we are grateful that you call us together. And for this table to which you invite us, help us to celebrate our togetherness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.